reach the island. Show. My name's Dave, a.k.a. Used to be a Brontosaurus, and this is a Fistful Podcast from FistfulPodcast.com. Back for another great week. Let me introduce you, as usual, to my co-hosts, all the way from the Reno Sparks area. And up first, we have one, Mr. Andrew Bergevin.
David, did you know that I was named after Thomas Jefferson?
Let me see if I can dissect your name here. Andrew Bergevin. Thomas. Oh, I get it, because they have the same number of syllables.
No, that guy was named a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was named after.
Oh.
I thought it was okay. Clever.
I didn't get... the man who thought that was clever is one Mr. Adam J. Hubbard, Esquire.
It was a good joke, Andy.
It was a great joke. I loved it.
Well, Andy Jefferson.
His real name is actually Andy Jefferson. I had no idea.
My real name is George Jefferson.
I was named after all the best presidents, so my name is Ronald Bush.
Oh, good. Ronald T. Bush?
Yeah, Ronald T. Bush. The T stands for the finger blaster.
Also known as Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I can fit my whole hand in there.
In studio, of course, we have Trum on the couch.
Hello, hello.
Mixing it up.
Two hellos.
Don't get too exhausted, Trum.
Okay,
you know,
Bono.
Don't overexert yourself.
Slipping into a nap. Yeah, Bono.
Hello, hello. Yeah.
Of course, also in studio, mining the soundboard, is Krista.
Clever girl.
So, guys. Took Trung to a college tour yesterday.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah? Which when colleges all, were touring? Did you get to go backstage?
Yeah, we saw the ASUs. We saw. So we went to ASU to show Trung around. And, you know, college is pretty tempting if you're into that sort of thing, I guess. Because it made me feel like, man, I really missed out. But then I was like, wait, no, they probably wouldn't let me in.
Why wouldn't they let you in?
Yeah, they let everyone in.
They let everybody in. I got in.
If you go to a community college, you're guaranteed a seat.
Well, ASU is not a community college.
Well, I know.
But I'm saying if you go to a community college.
And as an older person, you're pretty much guaranteed a seat anyway.
But at a community college, you're not. Community college is a different subset of people. Like at a community college, you have people like me who are too old to go back to college.
You're not too old to go back to college.
I'm meeting with someone to go back to college.
Are you going
I'm
to
in
a,
college
a,
right now?
A 4-year college or a
4-year college?
Are you going to live in a dorm?
Yeah.
No, hell no. I'm
not a child.
What's dorm life like, you guys?
You got a quad
sure
or a cluster?
You guys playing some Ultimate Frizz?
Or, yeah, so we played Ultimate Frizz
Quidditch.
Yesterday. What of it?
Frizz golf?
And then I met down at the cool college bars to play the karaoke machine.
Yeah, get some beer pong going.
Awesome.
There's 6 Starbucks on ASU's campus.
Believe it or not.
Nice.
And are they all like in a row?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're like all like it's one Starbucks the size of a Walmart, and the one inside of it is a little smaller, and the one side of that is a little smaller.
it's the Matryoshka doll of Starbucks.
Yeah, it's a Russian nesting Starbucks. Only one in the country, guys. So there's that.
With a teeny tiny coffee bar.
So, you know, as we're going around, they split us up into groups. We're taking the tour or whatever. And we got stuck with 2 of the fucking stupidest people.
That's why they need to go to college.
What did you call his dad?
Okay, so it was a dad-son combo, and they're both scruffy douchebags.
Yeah,
so,
let me get the dad-son combo.
Yeah. Number 3, large.
With extra douche.
Extra
douche. Yeah, so they both show up wearing loafers and no socks, and they're dressed like beach bums. And
they don't
and so,
match.
Yeah,
like their shirt and shorts.
The kid looked like a D grade Iron Fist, so I called him Loafer Dad and the Aluminum Fist.
That was pretty great.
Fucking idiot. So there's a couple buildings on the ASU campus that were designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, I guess. And like the Aluminum Fist would not let that go. He's like, oh man, where are those buildings that Frank Lloyd Wright did? And like nobody gives a fuck.
Oh no, I thought maybe they were gonna keep on making the Frank Lloyd Wrong joke.
No, thank God.
No.
But that's the thing. Like, halfway through the tour, like, everybody's listening and watching the tour guide, and they're like, oh, this is the computer lab, and this is this, and then that. And but, like, fucking the Aluminum Fist is, like, just sort of kicking a brick wall. I'm like, what are you doing
take that,
here?
Andrew Lloyd, right? I hope this is your building. You killed my mom.
Yeah, maybe it was the aluminum toe.
Maybe.
He just, like, doesn't know.
No.
Like, and his dad was wearing these sunglasses, and he was staring hardcore at our tour guide's tits.
Yeah.
He's like,
you got these tits?
Because, like, the point of sunglasses is you don't have to tilt your head down at the
Everyone
tits.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, no one will know. Like, if I were to, like, walk up to you guys and put on a pair of Oakleys and then, like, stare hardcore at your dick, do you think you could find me out if, like, my head was cocked directly towards your balls?
You're bent down, like, eye level. So.
Yeah.
Oh, no. David put on those sunglasses, and the reason he's staring at our dicks is because all of a sudden he sees a big sign that says Obey on it.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
They live in the dick.
And the dad would, like, think of, like, stupid questions to ask
fucking
this
moron.
Girl. Just so he could look at her.
Yeah,
is there food?
Yeah,
in general.
Like, he okay. So that food is a good question. So we went to one of the mess halls, and they're like, "Yeah, you can sign up for meal plans or whatever." But there's also stuff on here where, like, you sign up and you get ASU dollars.
Ooh, tell
and,
me more.
And you can
it's
spend
like a debit
them.
Card.
Yeah, it's like a debit card. And the guy's like, "Is it a 1-to-1 ratio, like, for the dollars?"
And she's like, yeah.
What kind of fucking question is that?
Yeah, what's the exchange rate on American dollars to university dollars?
Yeah, yeah. What, like,
the Sun Devil dollars.
How strong is the Sun Devil dollar compared to the American dollar?
Adam, and to answer your question, the exchange rate from regular dollars to university dollars is about $800 to 3 credits.
That's true.
University credits is what they call them. It's like Star Wars credits.
Yeah, they use credits. It's the future in most universities.
Cash.
Yeah, so we go there, and they're both acting like complete tools. The only time he's not staring at her tits is when he puts on his regular glasses, which, like, not smooth at all. So we go through the whole thing, we see everything, we sit down, and they're going to, like, you know, this presentation about how awesome the college is, and they're going to meet with, like, a student or whatever. So the Aluminum Fist comes in and sits down, and the room is dead silent because everyone has been walking all day, and we're just like, ugh, finally, you sit down. So now... The tour that we took was the liberal arts and science tour. So the first question out of the Aluminum Fist's mouth is, what is a liberal science?
And they're like, it's That's liberal arts and sciences. He's like, yeah,
yeah, and
but
he says,
what's
yeah,
a liberal
yeah.
science?
He's like, yeah, this girl, she's like, yeah, it's liberal arts. It's just science, liberal arts and science. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. What's a liberal science? And so she had to go, it's liberal arts and then she paused for 3 seconds and then said, science.
No, David, I wanted to research global warming.
Yeah, it's democratic sciences.
It's liberal science.
Nope, sorry, we don't have that. There's no such thing as a liberal science.
And then they left.
Damn it.
We only practice conservative science.
Yeah, and then they dipped out on the rest of the fucking presentation. I'm partly, like, he was never, checked in to begin with, but I think him asking that stupid question to everybody was, like, the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, no, David, see, those were actually two in-disguise reporters from Breitbart trying to get your college campus to slip up.
Oh,
excuse me, what's a liberal science?
What's this liberal science I keep hearing about around here?
Breitbart's a far-right wing...
Yeah, Steve Bannon's
newspaper.
Tell me
about the Democratic agenda on this campus.
Do you have a gay mafia?
Do you have any gay scientisticians?
How many gay chemicals are put into the food at the mess hall?
No, we got. There's so many.
Yay.
There's so many chemicals in the food. They're turning the frogs gay. I hear.
Oh,
yep.
Snap.
That's what Alex Jones yelled.
Yeah, it's starting right here in our own universities. They're like, hey,
guys invented the gay frog science?
Yeah. When you go to the Qdoba on campus, they ask you, do you want the chemical that turns frogs gay? And I say, no.
It leaves a weird taste in my mouth.
I said, keep that off. Keep the rice off. Give me extra cheese, though. And then they sprinkle a little bit of that frog chemical on there. I'm like, hey.
I saw that.
Did you put that frog chemical on here? This tastes like pond scum and dick.
It also tastes like pogs.
Like pogs.
Oh, there's pogs in this
like
room.
I got a slammer.
Which is why there's so many gay people now. That big pog craze.
Oh, maybe.
Why else would they call it a slammer?
That was Qdoba's, like, how they're saving money. Because Qdoba is essentially like low rent, what you call it, Chipotle. Their meat is 80% pogs.
Adam would argue with you.
They're like the Taco Bell of.
I think Qdoba is better than Chipotle.
What?
But Costa Vita is better than both of them. I don't know if you have Costa Vita's
down. Never heard of Costa Vita.
And I go for the local place, Super Burrito.
Which is worse than all of them.
No, you are a liar.
Well, with a name like Super Burrito, how can you go right?
You can't, but their signature Super Burrito is super.
What makes it super? Do they put a small cape on it?
Yeah, they put a small cape on it.
And sometimes you don't see it and you gotta like hack it up later.
Yeah. It's like you swallowed one of those flags from Double Dare.
Well, I don't know how many people were eating those.
Wow.
A lot of lawsuits back in the 90s.
No, yeah, I actually, remembering back, I do remember when Mark Summers had them eat a whole bowl of flags.
Yeah.
I thought, that's a weird physical challenge.
Well,
but,
no,
you
like
know.
Back in the day, almost nobody finished the Slopsicle course because when you grabbed the flag, you had to choke it down.
Yeah, they were like, hey, you know what? What if we just had them put it in their shirts? And Mark Summers is like, cut it, print it. And then he got into his...
originally, you had to regurgitate it to your kids at the next obstacle like a mother bird.
Oh, yeah. That was the first season, and no one gets the show right in the first season.
No, not at all.
You can hardly blame them.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Summers didn't pull out the Reeboks No Socks until like season 3, which is when it really took off.
Casio keyboard.
We went to the museum last night for the Beer and Bones attraction.
Beer and boning.
Yeah. So here's the thing, man.
I wish.
We went there. And it was beers from all over the valley. Like, there was beer stations everywhere. You get wine. And so I got this little beer passport that for two drink tickets, you could get a Dixie cup of different beers to taste.
Traveling,
I mean, if
the
you
world
like them.
Of beers.
Yeah, you could get the whole thing. So I had 4 ounces of beer, and I woke up with the hugest headache.
You're constantly being stopped at beer customs.
Yeah. I was like, excuse me, here's my beer passport.
David,
and they're
it's,
like, yep.
It's because you're 33.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, no kidding.
But 4 ounces, they were... Like, here's the thing. We showed up, and at minute 20, everyone was shit-faced.
It was crazy. You walk in, and everybody... It's like you walk in the door, and I don't know, something in the air, everybody's drunk.
I feel like they were, like, pre-partying.
Probably.
And, like, a terrible place to have a bunch of drunk, stumbling people is a museum, because a lot of that stuff is expensive.
If you had gotten there just 30 minutes earlier, they were taking shots out of Australopithecus skulls.
Oh.
We got there early-ish, and so, but one of the cool things was I got to talk to a couple of paleontologists.
Yeah? How pale were they?
Dude.
Pretty pale.
Were they drinking
I mean, the
pale
one
ales?
Guy... The one guy definitely looked ginger.
Yeah,
to me.
A pale paleontologist.
The bald
paleontologist.
Guy.
Pale paleontologist.
Hey, one guy. He was a paleontologist and a brewer.
I think he just makes it. Like Andy could be a brewer since he made that dumpster beer.
Yeah, everybody likes my dumpster beer.
Yeah, but if you're a paleontologist and a brewer, I think you have to put like a bit of dinosaur dust into your beers.
Yeah,
dinosaur dust.
Yeah, ground up dinosaur bones.
That's an easy thing to accomplish, though.
Exactly. Yeah. But it like, you can charge more for the extravagance of it.
Mm-hmm. They're like, what's the silt at the bottom?
It leaves a gritty taste.
That's a rock that used to be a dinosaur bone somewhere about 68 million years ago. You're like, so I'm eating a rock? And you say, yes.
It used to be a Tyrannosaurus. It's badass.
This tastes like an extinction event.
I taste, there's a hint of KT in here.
Yeah.
Which extinction event?
No. Is this Permian? No.
No, that's our summer ale.
Yeah, so we were hanging out there, and so hopefully I was able to chat up the paleontologist who wrote this book on sauropods, and I'm going to try and get him on the show for an interview, but it was super cool because, like, okay, so part of it wasn't super cool since everybody was drunk. We sat down with the sauropod.
That sounds super cool.
Well, we sat down with the sauropod guy, and it, like, you get, it's a speed data scientist, it's called.
Four
so you
minutes.
Get 4 minutes to chat up these, like, various scientists. They had an astrophysicist.
Tell me everything you know.
Well, that's the thing. So we sit down, and this bitch, like, I was like, excuse me. And this bitch is like, hey, how big are these things compared to elephants? And I'm like, you
sounds
fucking
like a female
bitch.
Harry Carey.
We have fucking 4 minutes, and you ask a rookie-ass question like that? And I palmed her face and shoved her off the balcony. I was so pissed when she asked that. I'm like, we have 4 minutes, and you're wasting it? So, whatever. Like,
and her friend was looking at her like, really?
Yeah, everyone was like, like.
David pounds his Dixie cup of beer.
Hey, I have eyes, and I can see skeletons.
Give me another
one. What is this,
so
big elephant?
I splashed my beer in her face, which amounted to about a quarter of an ounce.
I dripped a small amount of beer on her.
I was like, take this. She's like, ugh.
Napkin, but yeah, please.
This reminds me of Dad.
Oh. Gross. Just a drop?
Yep.
How old's her dad?
Australopithecus. Another joke.
Mm. Was it?
No.
It was
more like
just
you just said a word.
More just a word you remembered.
You're being so Crimean to me.
Crimean?
Yes.
Crimean?
I know a lot of words about the past. Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah. All right. The floor recognizes that Andy knows some words associated with the past.
Put that on the record.
But yeah, so also we got to talk to a guy who was an expert in ceratopsians, which I thought was cool.
He was cool. I liked sure. him too.
It was definitely an overall better experience than last year.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me started about the debacle last year.
Ugh. Yeah.
Last year's crack symposium.
Yeah, it was crack and crinoids. And I'm like, I don't know if I should show up to that one.
Seems pretty hardcore.
So one of the scientists, I forget what she was, but she had like bright purple hair.
David.
She worked with steam. She was like some kind of steam scientist.
She was some sort of steam biologist.
Yeah.
And
the biology of steam.
Like the woman was like introducing her, and the first thing she does is like takes one step.
Face plants.
Immediately. She's like, okay, so like here, like pretend I'm her, and you'll hear like what it sounded like on the microphone. So she was like, oh, wow.
She had like 6-inch stiletto heels,
yeah,
on.
So she
spills
an entire beer on this poor woman who's introducing her. And she's like, this is why I don't wear heels. And I'm like, maybe it's not the heels. Whatever.
Just
it was
slurring her words. And
it was
that
a
damn
fun
steam
time
again.
And then we God see her. When we're leaving, we see her leaving with somebody else, and she's got flip-flops on now, and she's, like, stumbling through the parking garage.
Ugh, yeah. Like, she was like a Death Wish-style start crime waiting to happen. But, so when we went there, they had some caricature artists that will do your picture of you as a dinosaur. So I got one of myself. Ooh. As a Pachycephalosaurus. Ooh. And a Camarasaurus.
I saw that on Facebook, Instagram?
Facebook and Instagram.
Somewhere.
So, but here's the thing. So there were three caricature artists. Two of them were transgender, and they were married to each other.
It was crazy.
So that's so fun. Here's I well that's
oh, yeah,
great. Here's the serendipity of it all, though. Like I'm not saying like ew, gross. Here's the thing. Like,
don't touch my caricature.
Draw me as a dinosaur quickly, so I don't have to look at you.
I'm like, hurry! Your gender makes me uncomfortable.
They have to draw more and more sweat coming out.
Oh, God, but he drew me with a vagina.
Yeah, so the Pachycephalosaurus drawing of me is like sweating bullets and like very uncomfortable with shifty eyes. But
that's what he looked like. I don't know.
So the genetically, how do I want to say it? So the biological male turned female was named Paige, and the biological female turned male was named Philip.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we have two transgender caricature artists. I'm like, that's cool. And then come to find out they're married to each
other.
Yeah,
he kissed her cheek, and I was like, oh.
And so here's my question. And this is more a question out of, like, straight-up curiosity, and I'm not, like, grossed out or anything. But so the transgender male and the transgender female, they found each other. Since you've got parts that already connect, do you swap them or you just keep them?
What are you talking about, like,
depends
transplants?
Depends on if you want to or
no, I'm
not
saying, like, I'm assuming they were pre-operation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't really know.
So, there's no way to know. But here's the thing. If a woman transgendering into a man doesn't get the bottom surgery, marries a man transitioning into a woman who doesn't get the bottom surgery, do you just call that good enough?
Well, if they want kids, if they want biological kids, they can do that and then have kids. And after that, I think.
I guess.
It just depends on what they're going to be more comfortable with as an end result.
That's the thing.
Like if the transgendered female looks down and says, "I hate this penis.
Do you want it?
Anybody want this penis?
I
want
to give it to my husband. He's been hankering after one forever." No, but it was a really fun time, really interesting, and I'm excited about next year, seeing as how they're definitely escalating the quality of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, every year more donations. Every year more faceplants.
Yeah. Just pretty soon, like in 10 years, it'll just be scientists falling onto gravel or like getting hit in the face with pies.
And I called
guarantee
it too.
Double the face plants every year and wetter stunts.
I wetter said to David,
yeah,
I was
the
like,
stunts are going
to
be real wet.
I was like, that girl's heels are so big, she's going to fall. And there she went.
Yeah, pretty soon it'll just be like paleontologists, astrophysicists, like microbiologists and anthropologists all doing like the slopsticle course.
No holds bar.
But every time I see a woman with ridiculous high heels, I'm like, and they always look like they're about to fall over.
Yeah.
There's no way not to almost fall over in those.
Mm-hmm. They were so high. And like the patio had those tiles that had like no grout in the middle. So there's like a big gap in between all of them.
Well,
I bet her heel got
trouble.
Stuck in it and just fell.
Yeah, it was loosey-goosey.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So what's happening with you guys up Reno way? And I know Andy's got some big news.
Andy does have big news. I'm just finishing up school stuff.
So how many classes did you take this year, Adam?
Four. It was basically just minimum for full semester load.
Okay. So, Andy, what's happening?
Well, what about my stuff?
Okay, yeah, what about 12 credits?
Take, Adam?
How many tests
I'm in an ornithology class. I'm learning about what dinosaurs became.
Oh,
no one.
You know that for the last 2 weeks, my boss has been completely up my ass.
Right.
And I keep on doing all the stuff that she wants me to, and she'd come back and be like, no, 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 you're also supposed to do this. And I'd say, well, what's the problem here? And finally, last week, I got to talk to her.
Okay.
And it seemed like everything was solved. Except
so
she wrote that thing in my book. I was like, look, bitch. Is everything solved? She goes, yeah, everything's fine. I come in on Monday, and she's printed out little cards. She's like, this is how you're supposed to. I want you to look at this card every time you go into a classroom and really look at it. Because these are all the things you're supposed to be doing. And I was like, I am doing all these. I don't need this card.
Well, here's my question. What was her problem with you? Like, when you hashed it out, what did she say?
She said there was no problem.
Well, okay,
but
so
apparently there were still problems.
Yeah, right. Apparently.
And then I went to her and said, okay, I'll do this. Are we finally done? She goes, yeah, of course, we're finally done. I come in on Tuesday. She has gotten the vice principal. She goes, Andy, we need to sit down with you.
What?
Oh, my God.
Unfucking.
And she goes, yeah, you really just, I need you to look at those cards every day, and you're really just not living up to any of my expectations.
What about Gary?
And we've had so many complaints about you. I was like, oh, really? Can I see any of them? She goes, no, you can't see any of them.
Can I talk to the people who supposedly gave them?
Yeah. Can I talk to them like an adult?
Oh, no, she's not going to tell us who complained. And the vice, and I said, well, can I talk to the people who complained? The vice principal goes, that's not really your job.
It's a closed ballot.
I said, well, okay, so I went around asking if anybody complained. Turns out, no.
Nobody? No, I didn't think
nobody did. So I go to the vice principal by myself, and I've been keeping a little notebook with dates and things that she said and things that she's done.
You've taken Carla out on dates? Her name isn't Carla, I don't think.
No.
It's Monica. An unrelated person.
Here, let's shout her out. Hi, Monica. Fuck off. Yeah. And I go to the vice principal just by myself. I said, look, we need to have a little meeting because... She is, I don't know why she's up my butt, but she is just an awful person. She's mean to people. She says things like, only dykes get promoted in the school district.
What?
Yikes! Oof. So, how did that meeting
go? I said, there's not a single person in this school that she has not called a cunt.
Jesus.
And she keeps on saying that you guys aren't fit for your jobs.
So, how did that shake out?
Well, I had all this stuff. She goes, oh, well, do you have any witnesses for that? Mm. And I said, Gary. She goes, well, we can't trust Gary.
Why can't you trust Gary?
I assume because of the same reasons that we don't trust Monica.
Whatever thing went down.
Oh,
and she goes, and I'm getting a way different story from her, and she's been here longer, so I have to trust her.
That is fucking retarded.
And I said, so there's nothing I can do to get her reprimanded for anything whatsoever. And I'll just have to keep living like this?
Fuck that.
And she goes, yeah, I guess, really.
I guess?
She goes, I'll talk to Monica tomorrow about her being mean.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, could you stop being mean? And she'd be like, shut up, cunt, and flow back to her.
I leave early to talk to my wife. I said, Alex, I need your permission, but I'm going to put in my 2 weeks at this job.
Nice.
I said, that gives me two more paychecks, and then I get anything I paid into the retirement, which is about $7,500, they give that back to me.
Okay.
Which is half of my salary for a year.
That is...
low.
I was gonna say pathetic, but low, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's in a 401k, would you take it out and roll it?
It's not in a 401k; it's in like a public retirement system.
It's in a jar up on the top of the fridge at the school.
It's in pennies.
You get this back when you're 60.
And Alex goes, "Yeah, of course." And I said, "Okay, let's drink to prosperity."
Us, huzzah!
Two beers in, I get a call from the school.
Uh-oh.
At 9:30 at night.
Okay.
And it's the guy I work with. And he goes, she stopped in looking for you.
Gary. Uh-oh.
Why would she be looking for you?
Because the vice principal talked to her and now she's pissed at Andy.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, well. And he said, well, I told her you went homesick. I was like, thank you. It doesn't really matter. What are they going to do, fire me?
I can only imagine what it would have been like if you had been there.
Oh, well, he theorizes she was either there to yell at me or to try and calm me down because I was getting pretty heated.
No shit.
And if the vice principal called her instead of waiting till the next morning to have a meeting, then I'm sure that's why she was there.
I feel like this school you work at is like top to bottom managed like shit.
I feel like it's managed where I used to work.
Like the only person you have on your side is the secretary. Like, and she has no power to help you.
Oh, and here I got more.
Oh God.
You have more?
It's the best part is coming.
Oh, okay.
So I woke up and my heartbeat was like in the morning. the alarm goes off. My heartbeat is like 140. So I was like, I'm just going to go do this now.
Uh-huh.
I go to the school. She's outside. She's like, what are you doing here?
Monica was?
Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to quit.
What'd
she goes,
you say?
Really? I was like, yeah, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to go find another job. And she goes, oh, good for you. This isn't a career. You're really destroying your body doing this. And she goes, well, we have to wait for a meeting, so I'm going to go do stuff. And as soon as she leaves and like the office is empty, the secretary goes, hey, come here. She had a meeting with the vice principal this morning where the vice principal told her all the stuff that you said.
Uh-huh.
And Monica not only said that you were a liar, she said that she thinks that you're doing cocaine or other opiates and that you should be drugged
out.
Oh, my God.
Okay, that's cool.
And the vice principal goes, what proof do you have? David, I have a permanent tremor in my right hand. Uh-huh. And it shakes all the time. Uh-huh. She said, well, he's always shaking.
So I've worked with everything from people who are addicted to cocaine in the trades to high-end people who are addicted to opioids in healthcare. And I've never seen them shake and that be the only symptom.
And well, she can't go ahead and assume that a health issue is
she can
of a drug
okay,
habit.
So back up just a sec. So she can't take your word about Monica, but she will totally believe that you're doing cocaine based
on
Monica.
That was my thing. It's like they don't believe this thing, but they believe everything
else. Well, apparently what the vice principal said is like, well, if you don't have any proof, then this is all hearsay and you can't say it again.
No shit.
Right.
Wasn't all of it hearsay? Every single thing that she brought before them?
Yeah.
So I went to them. I said, look, here's what's going down. Tomorrow, like Thursday and Friday, I'm taking my last two vacation days.
Jeez.
And then when I come back, I'm only working till the 12th and I'm out of here.
And what they say?
It's good for you're still young. Good for you.
You need that cocaine.
But David, when I came back in later that night, vice principal calls me into her office and says, here's a list of things Monica said you forgot last night.
What? Like,
what?
I wouldn't have even given them 2 weeks. I'd have been like, suck my ass. I'm out of here. Like, I've had some shitty bosses, but nothing.
David, I wanted to put in the 2 weeks because then we can still use my insurance for the month and Alex can go get some dental stuff done.
Okay.
Yeah,
you get the insurance
for the month
of
May.
But fucking, hey.
Anytime Monica says, oh, good for you, just tell her to shove it.
Yeah. Fuck you, Monica. What are you going to do? Fire me?
But
God,
I was so mad. Well, and then I called my mom and I was like, "Hey, I put in my 2 weeks." I tell her the whole story. She's like, "You're not doing cocaine, are you?"
Oh my God!
Like, mom, this is exactly what she wanted to happen.
I can't believe that she has credibility even in your story.
Well, even after everything that's happened with her,
seriously, like
where she almost got kicked out for sexual harassment and hours fraud. Except that they were like, "No, she's been here a long time. Let's just keep her."
Yeah, so she has done things to completely demolish her credibility, but since you're both apparently alive, you both deserve the same like treatment.
Yeah, she has tenure.
I did tell a white lie and say I already had another job lined up.
Whatever.
What that? Okay, so you were like, yeah, I got another job, and she's like, he's doing cocaine. Okay, yeah, that's you're right, Andy.
Yeah,
that was
right,
a real dick
even.
Move. you deserve to get the treatment you get.
How about you throw a little ding-a-dong, Jesus. Ding-ding, old crackhead boo-boo's way?
Fuck, that's crazy.
And the only person I told was Adam's sister, because they were complaining about her. I was like, well, she's not going to be my problem anymore.
They were complaining about Monica?
Yeah.
Well,
and
why don't they go to the vice principal?
A weight lifted from my shoulders, then went back on my shoulders. She was like, I'm going to be jobless. And I was like, well, but I'll have half my salary for a year.
So you make $14,000 a year?
Y'all.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I had my house paid for. Then I could probably live off of that.
I thought you were making more than that.
No, well, that's how much I get to take home. The rest went to insurance mm-hmm. and paying into my retirement, which I got to take.
And driven up to Oregon for the weed.
Well, yeah, no.
Well, when you texted me that, I was like, yeah, Andy did.
Well, that's exactly how I felt. And then I talked to my mom. My mom was like, what? What?
Well, so wait, you're quitting your job because you're addicted to cocaine?
Well, she kept it. She's like, why would she say something like that? I don't understand why she'd say something like that. I was like, mom, yeah. Because she's insane.
She's a terrible person.
Yeah, she's a bad boss.
She's just a bad person altogether. And I'm like, my entire next 2 weeks is going to be basically, if she complains, I'll be like, what are you going to do, fire me? Because if they fire me, I get unemployment.
Yep.
True.
That's what I did. Huh. They made a big mistake when they fired me.
Yeah. Say hello to an extra $130 a week for doing nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I
that sucked.
And the principal, when I went and talked to the principal, she goes, are you sure you can't stay on for the summer? Because we really can't be training somebody at the same time we're doing...
Fuck you,
yeah, you
should
have thought about that before you didn't do anything to Monica.
Hey, remember when Monica treated me like shit my entire time here? Yeah, I didn't want to deal with that either, so I would flip with a double bird.
Would have really ruined my summer. Sorry, bye.
Well, immediately, well, and like the guy... I took Alex to meet the guy I work with because he'd never met her.
Oh, this part's so depressing.
It's very depressing. He's like, yeah, I wish I had the guts to quit this place. When she did all that stuff to me, I tried to kill myself. Like, ah!
Whoa!
Gary, no.
And he's still there. How, like, okay, so he's got the guts to possibly end his life, but not to say I quit?
Well, and, like, apparently they keep having trouble, like, filling that third custodial position because people keep leaving because of Monica.
Well, yeah, because Gary's a fucking like beaten down lapdog. Like
Gary's
essentially
the shell of a man, and nobody will take it out on Monica.
He said, "I'm 60 now. I can't possibly find another job."
What's the? Is it? It's not Munchausen's.
Isn't it?
No, it's
Stockholm.
The one who starts with S.
Yeah. He's got Stockholm syndrome. He would rather murder himself than be like, "I quit," because it like Walmart exists, Gary.
Yeah, I
told him there's so many jobs. He goes, nothing that I want to do. I was like, you definitely don't want to be here.
Did you want to do this? There's nothing out there for an old dog like me.
Couldn't you have brought in some of the teachers as witnesses?
Thought about it, but all that stuff was
inadmissible.
According to the vice principal, not only did I have to have credible witnesses, but I had to have told them within like 2 weeks of it happening. And I was like, it all happened during the beginning of summer. You were all in Hawaii.
Sorry, well, statute of limitations.
Why can't the teachers complain about Monica in general to the...
They do, but Monica plays the victim every time.
But also, are teachers not credible witnesses? Like, they can teach our children the alphabet, but I'll be damned if I'll listen to any of their filthy lies.
David, I buy into your theory that she must have something on the vice principal and principal, mm-hmm. or there's, be best buddies, like, in secret.
There's no way. There's no other way, rather, because there's... There's 0% chance that everyone up that food chain has their head so far up their own asses that they cannot see what's happening here.
Well, I understand that the principal has other things going on right now. They have a big problem with a teacher right now.
But like that doesn't diminish like the fact that they have a fucking goblin working like.
the teacher did get caught drunk as a skunk teaching first grade.
Oh.
Well, then when they went into her cabinets, it was full of wine and shit.
Oh, shit.
And she didn't get fired either!
Well, if I got sent a letter, like if I had a kid and they brought home a letter and it was like very important to open up, I would rather read, this teacher was drunk, whoops, sorry, than, oh, like check your kid's asshole because my pinky ring might be in there or whatever. So, I mean, like getting drunk on the job is way like on the lower end of things that can go terribly wrong at a school.
This is the second time she's done it in 3 years. And they're paying her full salary right now. A year.
I mean,
while she gets help again.
Okay,
based on Monica
I'd
say you definitely had job security there.
Yeah, but why would you want it? I think I know what's happening here. Is the principal Hank Scorpio?
Yes, the principal is Hank
Scorpio. Okay, I cracked it. So there it is.
I made a mistake. I said, hi, Mrs. Scorpion. She says, I'm not Mrs. Scorpion. Call me Hank.
Don't call me that. Hank, just call me boss or whatever. Yeah. So the principal's Hank Scorpio and is like somehow fashioning some sort of doomsday cannon and only employs the least trustworthy and stupidest of the pond in Reno.
But David, I keep on realizing small things. No longer do I have to vacuum every day for 3 hours. No longer must I touch child feces and urine.
Yeah, I mean, like that in itself is worth the 75 right. large.
I mean, there's worse things you could do, but...
No longer must I hold myself back from spray painting green penises all over a school.
Andy, we have the whole summer to ourselves. We could go do that.
Now, if I really wanted to, I got the whole fucking summer.
Yeah. She deserves comeuppance, Andy. Yeah. Give me a description of her in her car, and stuff could happen.
Adam says we should put jelly on everything she loves.
Yeah, her life will become a jelly-filled nightmare.
Close it louder, Trung, thank you.
I thought you'd turn it off.
No, I turned your mic off so you wouldn't. Well, whatever. Trung's running here fucking slamming doors. Yeah, it's not a hot studio or anything. Let me just kick this door closed like a mule in a barn. Holy fuck. Anyway, so yeah, I'm very happy for you, Andy, that you're.
Well, now I gotta go through the whole rigmarole of finding a fucking job.
Well, I was thinking it's weird that you and Andy had similar, like, terrible boss situations.
Yeah.
And you guys had sort of the opposite outcomes.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. I really went for it. And my dad told me to keep that notebook and shit, too. He's like, you know, whenever I had problems with a boss when I worked as a police officer, I had this notebook.
Yeah, that would have been always above and beyond as far as I'm concerned.
Because he was like, yeah, do that. They'll definitely look into that. And so you do it, and you're like, here, look at all this stuff I've been looking at. And they're like, it's not credible.
Clearly,
that's
work
what
of
I
fiction.
Did too.
You didn't tell us 5 seconds after it happened.
We need a forensic journalist to go over this.
Okay, so next time, if you have a bad boss and you start keeping a journal, you have to tell them every time you're putting an entry in.
I brought up all the stuff where people told me not to apply for this job. like the other custodians I worked with when I was a sub was like, don't apply there. That lady's a nut job.
Well,
yeah, it's. But, and that's the thing. Okay, so yeah, we do have a very strikingly similar arc, but the outcomes are different because, like, the owners of the company I work for, they just turned a blind eye and they didn't give a fuck. Like, but to their credit, they finally did force her out.
Yeah, eventually they pulled their heads out.
But that's what I'm saying is you guys had like the opposite outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so weird.
And I told her, I was like, have I ever complained to you at all? She goes, no, you've never complained at all. I was like, well, this is how long it takes.
I'm sorry, you're just not credible. Next. Fuck that.
And then
man.
She must have called her because she showed up. It's like, where's Andrew?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if other people have definitely complained about her, and that was the difference between you and me and at my work. Nobody complained about my boss because there was nothing they could do about it, apparently, or they thought there was nothing they could do, so everyone would just quit. But here, like, your people are complaining about your boss, and they're still doing jack shit about it.
Well, yep. And every time, like, they were going to reprimand her for something, or, like, when you talk to the vice principal, they always give her the heads up. All right, I'm going to catch you tomorrow
at
3.
The way any meeting with her goes is like, well, let me start. There may have been some misunderstandings, and I'm the victim here.
Well, I'm pretty sure I understand that you're a bitch.
I'd be like, I understand this completely. Fuck you.
Like, I come in here and I bust my ass cleaning up shit off the floor that is dried, so you know it's been there a long time. So somebody told her about it, and she says, I don't touch a poo-poo.
That's Monica's calling card, is dry, crusty shit.
I hope both of her arms break off and she's left on a cliffside with no way to get up.
Loses her feet to diabetes.
Oh, she's left in the desert chin-crawling
her way.
She's
going to lose something to diabetes based on how she takes her medication.
Does she take it in the butt?
Yeah, of course. No,
but insulin.
She's one of the diabetics that's supposed to take a shot before every meal.
Uh-huh.
She just says, "Well, I think I'll need this much today." And goes
for the whole day. She does it.
Yeah.
All right. That's well, good. Case closed. She's gonna kill herself.
Yeah.
I people think that's so bizarre. People think like they're cars. And they could just fill up the tank with stuff. And be like, yeah, I'm good for a couple dozen miles.
Well, and like she has. Tennis elbow in both of her elbows because she does these lunch tables.
She does so much
wrong.
Tennis.
Because she loves tennis.
Well, they offered her like this thing that they would put on the wall that you push the tables against and it helps the tables go up. She goes, no, that's fucking stupid.
That's
cut
for
forward to 2 months later where she's like, I can't. Guys.
She's on the phone with Andre Agassi. Help.
What's tennis elbow? I know I've heard of it, but what is it?
I haven't really looked into it. It's just like
inflammation of the elbow. I don't know why they call it tennis elbow.
It's like an arthritis of your elbow.
It's overuse and overextension that leads to arthritis. Like, so.
It's like carpal tunnel. But
good. I hope her entire body fails.
Yeah, There's no, I've got so many bosses who I hope are resting in shallow graves somewhere. Like Eric I've Davis, I hope he's dead. Maria, my last one, hope she's dead.
I hope my boss gets fired and deported.
I've had bosses that were like literally 18-year-old girls that couldn't have possibly been as bad as her.
Yeah, that's the thing. Oh, man.
Like, an 18-year-old girl is known to be vengeful.
Well, so, guys, I wanted to talk to you since... Okay, so, update on the anthology. Everything's been submitted. I've proofread it a million fucking times.
I don't think it's
submitted it three times, finding mistakes every time that they keep sneaking in there. But it should be good to go. We'll have them... very shortly, and then I'll start sending them out to everybody. But to get everybody's appetite wet, I don't want to spoil any of the stories, but I do kind of want to touch upon the more exciting bits of...
Spoilers.
Of spoilers. So in Adam's story, Kaiser Soze is Richard Kiel. That's your story, and you're like, I don't want to hear it.
No.
But I was surprised to see similarities between your and my story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they both take place on the sea.
Well, I knew you were writing a sea story at some point. I didn't know you were including it in this book.
Well, at first it was going to be like its own thing, and then I was like, oh, because I was putting the stories in, I had one for Andy, I had one for Joe and Randy, and then I was like, oh, you know, I'm missing Adam. So I threw one in there for you.
Well, my story, it's an idea that I had when I was actually on the ship, and I wrote a very small portion of like the initial draft, I guess, when I was on the ship, and I never touched it again, and this is a very evolved version from there.
Yeah, yours was interesting because I loved how it was dripping with atmosphere and
it was sopping wet.
Just totally soaked, man. That
was this story totally, was so horny.
Totally had a wide on for atmosphere. but yeah, I was really interested, and then at the end I was like, whoa! And whoa. Andy's, even though it was so short, like it was very concise and nothing was wasted. I really enjoyed it too. Like I'll just to tip the hand a little bit. So Adam's sort of revolves around the sea and the adventures therein, and Andy's was it has to do with ants, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But
and the adventures therein,
yeah,
the adventures therein.
I called it Antventures.
Yeah, it's where Andy lives among the ants, and he lives in an ant hole and marries an ant.
Don't tell David I just sent him the script to the ant bully.
I think they would want more than a page and a half for a script.
Let's make a movie out of it, guys.
Hey, I got it. We've got a page and a half of written material here. Time for a 90-minute movie.
Stretch it out.
Well, that's what they did with Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Was that based on a page and a half of
I can. That's how much dialogue there was.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Well, but yeah, so I'm really excited about how the book came together. Like, Trung's story was almost... research to a fault, because every time I would check in with him, I'd say, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, I've got to research the bite force of this animal before I can go anywhere. And I'm like, what? Why?
I need to research the babysitter that watched the guy's niece.
There was nothing in Trung's story that wasn't like laboriously researched. Bizarrely so. He's like, would they have had children back in this time? I'm like, yeah, probably. He's like, I'm gonna check it
back
out.
Then
the only thing I could have asked for while I was writing was a thesaurus, because I hate reading a book and it's like, he said this, then she said, and I was looking up grammarly ways to do dialogue, and I was like, you know, I could just eliminate dialogue altogether and make this an inner monologue.
Yeah, dialogue is fucking hard.
Yeah, like when I read books, it doesn't bother me, but whenever I try to write that stuff, I'm like, oh, this is so bad.
I know.
But I feel like I'm doing it the same way.
Every time I sit down to write, thesaurus.com is open on a device somewhere. Because I can't use turd 8 or 9 times in a row. Like,
well, it's like I'm sitting there, it's like, I can't use the word swarm again because it's in here like 5 times.
What does swarm again mean?
It's a swarm again? It's like the...
it was his last name in the story.
You know the Morrigan, Adam?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of those.
Oh.
But yeah, and I'm really happy about how it came out, and everybody's story for what it is very good. It was really interesting, and I'm surprised at how many people are actually like competent authors.
Ooh, I'm an author now.
Yeah. Well, we'll be published, self-published, but published.
Yeah, self-published. And I don't want to be like, I can't believe like these people are so stupid that it really shocked me. But like, writing is fucking hard.
Oh, I know.
I think what surprised me most is Trung's story, because I you wouldn't expect someone whose second language is what they're writing in to be so competent.
Oh no, his entire story is in Vietnamese.
Yeah, like, I couldn't, like the words Ching and Chong appear dozens of times. So be ready for that.
This is the thing. I can't write in Vietnamese, but I can write in English.
Weird. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's just the way the culture shape around the language. I can't get into it.
Well, because you guys only have one tense, right?
Yeah.
What?
So
but they we only still have story.
It's the only circus in town.
Yeah. It's Ringling Brothers and that's it. Barnum and Bailey never made it. No. But like in Vietnamese, you only have a present tense.
Things are only
yes,
ever happening
we
now.
We add like adverbs like yesterday and stuff to signal for either future or past.
Yeah.
But we
and
don't have.
Most Asian cultures do that, don't they?
I don't know.
You say,
Languages are cool.
You remember that now that happened earlier?
Yeah, you say, I go to the store yesterday, essentially.
Yeah.
And I can't wrap my head around that. Yeah. Chris just came out good. My dad put one in that was...
Nepotism.
It was nepotism.
It's about a superhero named Johnny Ham Radio.
Yeah, he's got all the powers of a radio.
He had to go to the hospital, but he cheered up everyone and cancer was cured.
Breaker, breaker.
He can talk and he can listen. All the things a radio can do. But yeah, it was all of this is just sort of to juice up some interest because I think because I put it out like it's going to be the cheapest it can be, like that it would let me be that I could charge for it essentially. You know what I mean?
So I got you.
Dominic, he put in a couple of good stories. One's like a real weird time travel sort of thing through a picture.
See, I had an idea for a while where there was a guy whose job it was to fix plot holes caused by other time travelers.
Oh, so in a book store like type situation, like, you're telling?
Well, no, like he would travel back in time, and if somebody was like, "Hey, I killed Hitler," he'd have to go back in time and fix that
and save Hitler.
Save Hitler.
Yeah,
that does sound pretty cool.
I've got to save Hitler's brain.
Yeah, well, he fixed plot holes, even small ones caused by other time travelers.
I mean, when you say plot holes, I picture a guy that just travels through like literary and movie scenarios.
He ain't Gumby. Yeah.
So when you're saying plot holes, you mean actual time problems, not like he's
you know,
he's not recognizing
real life plot holes.
He doesn't recognize that he's in a book, I imagine. Like he's not like, well, here I am in this book.
Hi, it's me, Deadpool.
Time traveler.
Yeah, so that'll be really good. When I got Andy's story, I was driven to near rage.
Yeah, he came home and he's like, God damn it.
I was so like his and not in a bad way necessarily.
Fucking Andy.
A good rage?
Yeah, well, kind of, because when I read it, Andy sent it to me, and I was like, oh, finally. Oh, so I read it, and I was like, fuck, this is really fucking good. And I was like, this is what he's been saying. Like, why? What? Like, it was, it's so tight and concise, and like, there's not a word wasted. It's like in and out, and it's exactly what you want in a short story. And I wanted to wring Andy's neck because he's like, oh, I haven't done it in 13 years. And I'm like, this is better than anything I've pumped out in the last five.
David, I did spend about 3 hours going through. It was about 1,500 words before I went through, and I was like, well, that's just repeating what I said.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It needed very little editing, and the fact that it was okay. So, like, some of the stories in the book are to put it in like terms that people can understand, like steaks. Some of them have like a little bit of fat on them. Some of them have a lot of fat, but that sort of adds to the flavor. Andy's is like a sirloin, zero fat. It's everything you want, and it's bam.
It's filet mignon.
Get in and out.
Adam's is a steak. It's got a little fat on it, but at when, like on the last bite, there's a giant spider.
I don't think I want this steak.
Like you're eating the steak, and then as you're lifting the last sumptuous bite to your lips with juice falling off it, you're like, oh fuck! You're like, and then you realize like how many spiders you must have eaten.
Oh god,
I've already devoured all these spiders.
Look back at your plate. There's just the remnants of spider legs.
Yeah, like you look down. You're like, there was no steak at all. They were just eating a bowl of spiders.
Oh god,
you made my steak sound horrible.
But that's the atmosphere, and the it served its purpose is what I'm getting at. Like
those spiders did what they were meant to do.
Like? You lulled it into like you're like, oh, this is a steak. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. You're like, it tastes kind of weird. You're like, oh, but it is a steak, so I'll keep eating it. And then by the end, you're like, oh, like spider.
What's the fattiest thing?
This was just one big spider.
Spider steak.
Like, and it wasn't even like there wasn't even a bowl. You were just eating a giant spider that was walking around.
God. I don't like where this metaphor is.
Hideous crunching noises.
No, but that's what it suits it because it's good and you want to keep going because you're like, oh, you know, it's I you know, you're like, oh, but you know, it is what it is, and I'm like, yum yum yum, and then you're like, ah, and you're horrified back to the Stone Age at the end.
And then you shrug and say, this spider has excellent mouthfeel.
Yeah. Excellent mouthfeel. Yeah, it was good. Trunks was like, I don't want to describe it. Like, there's not a lot of fat on it, but at the end is kind of like, I don't even know how to describe
it. Well, I needed to end it. And yeah, that's the way that I can end it quickly.
I had to end it.
Yeah, because that's what I, like, when I was writing the RJ stories, I would just keep writing until I was bored with it, and then I would have him do something completely off the wall and you know...
Well, originally I also had like in between because there's just three big paragraphs for my story, but in between each one was like a news report, and I was like, ah, that explains too much.
I could have gone with more. I definitely could have seen this developed into at least a novella.
Yeah, we'll do a director's style. Cut later.
Yeah, like it. There's something there that I would like to see more of, but like for what it is, it's sleek and it's good to go.
Yeah, like a small sports car.
When Krista did hers, it was too much and too little at the same time. Because
whatever
there
you've
was,
done, do it differently.
It touched on so many things, but didn't explain anything.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I tried making a book out of or a short story.
Yeah, because a short story is like one scene or like a small like arc, like someone's day, and she was trying to put in like someone's life story in like 1,500 words, and you can't do that.
That would be tricky.
Yeah, so I mean, all of them are good. Cherishes is, I mean,
what kind of steak is it?
It's not a steak.
Oh.
It's
a beef.
It's like ramen, kind of like high quality restaurant style ramen with just a little jizz in it.
acceptable amount.
Yeah, like the acceptable amount of jizz for ramen.
Well within the FDA acceptable allotment of jizz per meal, but they're still in there. Yeah, it's still in there.
Ain't nobody got pregnant from this ramen.
No, because you're eating it. And I, you know, my Summer, who's been on the show before, she threw one in, which is both like funny and embarrassing for me. But I kept it anyway because, you know, you can't stifle the artistic mind. But I'm very excited. We should have them very soon. And then I will post a link for everyone to buy them. And I was thinking, yeah, this will be not only good for everybody else because it's fun to write fun stories, but I'll also, you know, have more people to sort of spread the word about everything. But the amount of nom de plumes that everyone is using, I don't think it's going to get very far.
Nah, you can just use my name.
Yeah, I didn't
put my name on all those stories.
Well, Mata's, I got a special shout out to Mata because he did one with illustrations and everything. Ooh. And I
liked his story.
Yeah, it was very funny, and I can't wait because like we all make appearances, and that's another thing I like about it is it's part related to the show, and then there are some that are just like off in left field that I think is a good mix for everybody.
Some that's just off pudding.
Yeah, it's pudding that has gone bad.
This is the worst food descriptor yet.
Yeah, let's push right ahead, see what Andy's got for us. Do we have a Craigslist ad? Do we got a fucking...
Man,
what do we got?
None of that. There's nothing, man.
All right, so now we've got nothing.
Hold on.
Tune in next week.
We go to the bubble drum, but this guy... I've read you all the ones that seem all right. I mean, here's one called Urine Bubbles.
Urine?
Yeah, urine. Urine. I know. It's just
urine. Urine.
When I pee, there's all sorts of weird bubbles in the toilet water.
Didn't we do this one?
Yeah, we did
this
one.
I think we did this one.
Yeah. There's the free food McDonald's. Uncommon masturbation fantasies that work consistently to moderate the ejaculation experience.
Okay, we haven't heard that one yet.
I was 12 when my dad took me to see Return of the Jedi.
That's where you got his boner?
Most going with this.
Most dudes recall Slave Leia, but there's another scene with far greater fantasy potential.
Chewie and Han. maybe he jacks it to when they're playing holo chess.
Maybe it's when Han is stuck in the carbonite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what if they put him in the carbonite, but he had a boner at that time?
Okay, this is a little weird.
Oh, boy.
When I'm staying at a crappy Best Western in South Dakota, I find a chunky skank on Poff.com or OKCupid.com.
Poff. Oh,
I nail her butt. I'm getting too close.
I nail her butt.
Wait. Is it B-U-T-T?
B-U-T.
Okay.
You don't nail her butt.
I nail her butt.
Now!
It's pretty cool.
It says now! Remember when that AT-ST was shooting Ewoks and two Ewoks get laser blasted and boom, they go flying? Okay. Land, and one wakes up. There's a lot of ellipses here.
Yeah.
Shakes the other, but the other one is dead.
Uh-huh.
And the live Ewok groans because his friend is gone and he contemplates death. Bam!
What?
You are nailing that skank and you get too close to coming and you want to delay? Think dead Ewok. Dead, unbreathing, laser-fried Ewok corpse, and your boner will ascend a bit and you will impress the skank with your stamina.
Okay, what? I've got a couple of things I would like to touch
I have a few questions.
Upon.
A couple of things I want to address here.
So, his method for not coming, number one, is a dead Muppet.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's effective.
Sure.
Think of how bad that thing must smell.
Well, it just died.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, they probably don't smell great to begin with, and now it's got burning hair.
True. Oh, yeah, all the burning hair.
Okay,
so why is he trying to impress skanks from the internet?
Well,
it's a rookie mistake.
Yeah, you don't impress the skank. You just slam her butt.
Yeah, you slam her in the butt, and then you send her on her way.
Like, and death wouldn't make you completely flaccid. It would just make you just a little bit.
Yeah, you impress her with your slight flaccidity.
Flaccidity. Oh, I noticed. Yeah, they're both in the bed, sheets up to their nipples, smoking cigarettes, and she looks over. She's like, "Hey, I noticed you got flaccid a little bit there in the middle, and we kept going and having sex." She's like, "That I really enjoyed.
That was my favorite part."
Remember when you got a little flaccid?
See, I think this guy is half comedy and half, or half bad comedy and half truth. Let's see here. But in actuality, you're crying inside because you know a dead Ewok. That dead Ewok had a baby at home and a wife that will never get to see her furry husband again. How do you know the sex of the Ewok?
Yeah, maybe that was a bachelor Ewok.
Do we even know that Ewoks go through the ritual of marriage?
No.
Do you even know that they only have two genders?
Well, that's true. They could have 57 genders. My theory is that since they are still hunter-gatherers, they don't have traditional Western monogamy.
Could be. They could also reproduce like tribbles.
That's
why they were going to cook up Mark Hamill and all them to eat them so more babies pop out.
I was going to say, was that in the Ewok movies?
Yeah, they were always just reproducing by budding.
Yeah.
I gotta warn you, however, that you have to limit this to how many times you visualize this dead Ewok scenario.
Otherwise you start getting turned on by dead Ewoks.
Don't do this more than 50 or 60 times. I broke this rule, and now I'm starting to have a reoccurring Ewok fetish where I don't think I can come unless the bitch I'm nailing dresses up like an Ewok or at least hums the song.
What?
50 or 60 times. So he is saying that he has nailed 50 or 60 random sluts that he found on the internet and now has done it so much that they have to dress up like an Ewok?
Yeah, this guy's a very good track record.
Yeah, this guy is fucking nailing it, literally.
He really is.
Nailing those butts.
This can be problematic if you meet a skank overseas and you want her to wear a tattered leather cowl and a bear mask. She might think you're weird.
I think it's less weird overseas.
Women in America are totally cool with wearing a bear mask while you fuck them.
Oh, another.
That's one thing you learn when you start traveling the world.
I put on my dating profile. I don't want to dress like an Ewok anymore.
Here's the problem with that. Those masks, I'm sure, don't breathe very well, and they will be saturated in sweat.
Oh, but it's, David, and not only that, like, there's not very good air holes in them, so you get your autoerotic asphyxiation at the same time. You just can't breathe right.
Just don't get any jizz in the fur.
The cleaning bill's through the roof. Just like they pass out from CO2 poisoning. You rip the mask off their head, and it's like a sweaty ball of shit.
Uh-oh. Help me. Their face is pruny from water.
Yeah, prune face. Then that'll
looks
turn
like
them
a
on.
Wet mummy.
God.
Oh, I love fucking wet mummies.
I was in Lebanon and I tried to convince this hooker I met to groan like a dead Ewok, and she had no fucking idea what an Ewok was.
What an idiot.
And she was like, since it's dead, it probably doesn't groan.
Yeah.
Man, she was too smart.
She but had so many problems. Yeah, just like, you know what an Ewok is, right? Groan like one for me. And she's like, huh? This is Lebanon.
I only speak Lebanese. So if you get close to visualizing the dead Ewok scenario 50 times and need an alternative, try watching Krull and think of the Cyclops being crushed, or Neverending Story when the Indian kid's horse drowns in the swamp.
Yeah, but then, not that I'm poking holes in these, but I see a similar problem 50 or 60 fuck sessions down the road where now you're fucking a dead horse?
Horse? And it has to be a drowning horse at this point.
Yeah, so you're fucking a horse stuck in quicksand.
I don't think I've ever seen Krull. Was the Cyclops dying emotional?
The only thing I know about Krull was that there was a glaive.
A glaiven?
The glaive. Yeah, but then before you know it, you're like throwing glaives around the room and
yeah,
it gets super dangerous.
Yeah. See, and that glaive, well, Adam, that glaive is a lot like, remember that scene in Blade where he throws the thing and it chops off all the heads and it comes back? That's what that glaive does, basically.
You gotta find a Nerf glaive.
You throw it once way up high and it rotates around the room a bunch and you just...
But that's the thing. The glaive does not make many appearances in Krull.
No, I assumed it was in every scene.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. The amount of times it's used is very seldom.
I was led to believe differently.
Watch that movie because they're constantly pulling it out, and you're like, "Yeah, throw that bitch!" And he's like, "Back in the bag you go."
I got this glaive.
just let it be known.
You guys know what a glaive is? It looks like this, and he's like, puts it back.
I'm going to beat you up.
This will also assist in delaying your ejaculation, and your stamina will impress whatever Tinder Slam is in your bed.
Tinder Slam? Is that a...
Tinder's an app where you swipe right or left?
I know what Tinder is.
Well, again, why is he looking to impress these one-and-done gutter sluts?
Well, he's on the internet posting about fart meetups and milk feet.
True.
I think he's got to take it where he can get it. Which apparently is all the time.
Yeah, that opens up more questions. Like, who is he finding to, like, is this someone fucking him repeatedly? Like, okay, is he like the wet wipe of the sex world where you use it once and then flush it?
The wet bandit.
Or is he a hand towel where you're constantly like, yeah, and then you wash it and use it again?
Here's how he gets all these sluts. Adam, they give weirdos a special, once you've caused one code Adam, they give you a special phone with a special Tinder on it, so you can only hurt those people.
What's a code Adam?
It's when a child's gone missing in a store.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe that was your version of the Amber Alert.
No.
You guys have Amber Alerts, though, right?
Yeah, every once in a while, our phones will go off like it's the end of the world.
Everybody's phone starts buzzing crazy.
But does it do the same for Silver Alerts?
I've never... what's a Silver Alert? Is that a geriatric missing?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no, we don't get those.
That is true.
Maybe I disabled that.
On the freeway overpass, those signs they have, it'll be like, Silver Alert, last seen in, like, an Oldsmobile Cutlass. You're never surprised by their getaway vehicle,
no,
is the point.
No, it's like a Buick.
Last seen, driving his old Cutlass Supreme towards the Lost Dutchman's mine.
Last seen, moving at 15 miles an hour down...
Oh, look, there he is. We found him.
Here's the thing, though. I think that anyone putting in any effort can find someone to fuck on Plenty of Fish.
Yeah.
Because the dude who fucked someone in front of me, that was his go-to all the time. You guys remember that story?
Mm-hmm. Yes, where David was on a job site, and the guy, he had to share a hotel room with a dude. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm going to fuck this trailer skank here.
Couldn't do a thing about it because I was blasted drunk.
At least you didn't join in.
Yeah.
You'll
thank
always
God.
Have that.
Your eyes look haunted for a second, David. Is there more to that story?
No. But yeah, Chris is right. If I were sober, I definitely would have jumped in.
No, I'm talking about because you were drunk. At least you didn't do anything stupid.
No, but if, but that's the thing. If I were sober, I would have run out the door.
I said, no.
Out into the I was
like top 10 drunk where I couldn't even get off the bed to like leave the hotel room.
No, stop.
No, no, do that.
And then in that other time when he took that bitch back to our hotel room and fucked her in our shower.
What? I didn't hear about that story.
Well, I wasn't there to witness it, so it wasn't that big a deal. Oh. I mean, by then, I was so jaded. I was like, you can fuck anyone. Fuck people in our hotel room, fine. Just not while I'm in it.
And we met on OkCupid. How many people did you go on dates with on OkCupid?
Dozens. I must have fucked 50, 60 bitches. I went through so many fantasies.
Many movie death fantasies.
Yeah. Sometimes I would imagine Short Round yelling at Indy.
Indy, you're my best friend.
And I would be like, I would shudder a little, and I'd go a little flaccid, and then I'd keep pounding.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
That's why sometimes when David's having sex, he goes, slot love chunk.
Yeah, I would just remember a beloved 80s movie scene.
I gotta get those Goonies.
And then I'd be like,
I think you go above and beyond with that one.
And then he immediately starts thinking of Throw Mama from the Train.
Yeah, Danny DeVito's there, and I'm like, that one you can only allow a couple frames into your mind because
you don't want to get addicted to that one.
Yeah, you want to go a little flaccid, not completely limp.
Yeah, just
think about Sting in his gold underpants in Dune.
Yeah, you just hear like a, and it's over.
Well, that's how you get going again.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh no, too much of Throw Mama from the Train. Sting, help! And he's like, yeah,
David starts thinking about Throw Mama from the Train. He goes, fear is the boner killer, and he thinks about Sting.
Sting, save me!
I imagine Sting in that those like a square like holographic armor they had.
Yeah.
Except he's shirtless, and he throws both of his hands behind his head, and he starts helicoptering.
The spice must flow.
And there's a small rectangular shield around his dick swirling in a... And his balls,
shot.
His balls are in cubes. If you've seen that movie, this is all very funny. I'll show you Dune later, Trey.
It's very appropriate for this one specific thing.
Is it that movie or Flash Gordon where they have to reach their hand into the thing and if you're afraid it'll bite you and kill you?
I think that's Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Because Dune is all about the spice.
And the hand killer?
Spice of life.
The hand killer.
Yeah, Fear is the spice of life.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so I guess great job there, Andy, I guess.
Yes. Good work.
So I guess let's start wrapping it up with a round of staff recommendations.
Put a bow on it. Nerd.
Bow it up. Adam, you hardly ever go first. What do you got for us?
I mean, you say that, but I'm pretty sure I go first like every other time.
Because you always say you don't go first ever.
I have an anti-recommendation.
Okay.
I went and saw a movie this week. And it took place in your neck of the woods.
Really?
I went and saw Phoenix Forgotten.
Oh.
Never heard of it.
And it's about the lights over Phoenix in 97.
Oh,
like
okay.
That UFO sighting.
Yeah.
But it's like a semi documentary of this girl, like her brother, like I guess some teens went missing. I don't know if that's true. I didn't look into it. Like some teens went missing looking for the lights.
That's the thing. I speaking from personal experience, I remember this happening because it was on Fox 10, and they had cameras looking at lights in the sky, and the anchors were wildly, you know, guessing about what they could possibly be. Just like, yeah, well, I couldn't believe we were that stupid.
It's about like these three teens went missing because they were documenting the whole thing, and they were going out to try and find them or something. And then the movie is like one of the teens' sister later on is doing a documentary about the whole thing, and like they find the lost footage of when the kids went missing.
Oh, so it's like the Blair Witch Alien,
basically.
Or sorry,
yes.
The Blair Alien.
How good
project.
Was it?
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, well,
like there's a bright light and a bright noise. My nose is bleeding. Oh, I'm gone. Bye.
I'm gone. Bye.
didn't that happen in Chronicle? Except that there was more going on in Chronicle.
Chronicle was good,
but like Aliens. If you're going to make something about aliens, it has to be Ridley Scott's type of aliens, because like the Greys went out of fashion as soon as the X-Files was off.
That's the thing that drew me into this movie, is it's produced by Ridley Scott.
Really?
Yeah, but Ridley Scott went off the deep end.
It has his name on it.
That doesn't mean much anymore.
It wasn't very good.
Yeah, well, there you go. So the proof is in the pudding. Krista, what about you?
Truman and I have been watching 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, God.
I wanted to start watching it. It looked interesting.
Don't.
It's
Don't
up.
Do back. It.
David sat there for like 12 minutes.
And I could barely bitched. Take that.
So well, it's not yeah. that bad.
If you love...
A, that's a glowing recommendation. It's not that bad.
It So... You guys remember how shitty high school was and how everything was a big deal despite the fact that it wasn't a fucking big deal?
Yes.
Imagine that, only grander, like soap opera style drama from these kids who are in their mid-20s.
Probably 30s
these
or 40s.
Problems,
no, they mostly they're mid-20s.
Well, moral of the story is if you want to see a bunch of people in their 20s worry about issues that wouldn't even affect a 12-year-old, 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Friends. Except Friends is funny.
Yeah, but, and Friends, they were all in their, like, their 40s.
So if you can ignore David's anti-recommendation
awful.
About it, Adam,
awful.
I would watch it.
I did see a trailer before my movie about somebody who unfriends, like, I guess this girl was a witch. She unfriends them on Facebook and
hexes
she
them?
Like she kills herself and like curses Facebook.
Oh no, and curse book.
They look at the code of Facebook like that's not code and it's like runes and stuff.
Oh no, face curse.
Oh my god.
Witch curse inside the code of Facebook.
Oh, see I go on Snap Curse instead.
Technology ruins horror and every time they try and slam the two together it's fucking it's a disaster.
Like fear.com.
Tainted.
That was one of the first ones.
Like, because, okay, so, like, a ghost, most ghosts, like, typically when you, like, think of a ghost right now, what do you picture?
Beetlejuice.
Someone who is not Andy, think of a ghost, and it's
one.
Usually someone from the 1800s, right?
No, mine wasn't at all.
What did your ghost look like?
It was a modern ghost. She,
really?
She was lonely, and she died in a fire.
What?
I don't know what Adam's referencing.
I just said picture a ghost. I didn't think you would make up a backstory.
Yeah, I came up with a whole backstory.
No. Andy, Adam.
One of you.
Stop him, Andy. Stop him from imagining that.
My ghost is Val Kilmer from Heat, but he died.
Oh. My ghost is current day Val Kilmer haunting Twitter.
We can't keep imagining them. They'll become real.
All the horror movies that revolve around technology are garbage, but no one seems to remember that. Do you remember the cell phone movie?
Which one? The one with William H. Macy that's not a ghost movie?
No, the one that was like a teenager, like...
The Signal?
No, something I like think that. It was called Cell Phone.
Cellular? What is it about?
No, it's Cellular about, is the one I was thinking about.
No, it was a horror movie where like, and it came out when I was working at a theater, so I was like, this is shitty, because I'd watch it through the little hole where the projector was.
Watch it from the little peephole.
And I'd be like, yeah.
Look at those people.
Look at all the tops of those heads.
So frightened.
Or what was it? Stay Alive?
Stay Alive, fear.com. Any of the technology / horror movies are...
Is it One Missed Call?
Yes, maybe. Maybe.
It doesn't matter.
They're getting voicemails from their future selves.
Yeah, like the poster was an old-style flip phone that was open, that was cracked, and there was blood coming out of it, I think. Or that might be the Stephen King. Moral of the story is, technology and horror doesn't mix. So don't fucking do it, Troom.
Okay.
Scrap that screenplay you've been working on about the modem that kills people.
Don't play this game about Elizabeth Bathory. She'll kill you.
But yeah, well, you buy it on Steam and then she comes and kills you. It's a terrible business
a
model.
Sale.
It's a terrible business model, by the way.
Yeah, we put the actual ghost of Elizabeth in this game.
Yeah, we programmed her right in there. Kills everyone who buys.
I mean, and once we did that, we realized she's really not that bad.
Yeah, because they all turn into that Simpsons episode where the guy shows up and he's like, here's the problem. Someone put this doll to evil.
If you act now, you can get the Prima's Guide. God damn it, Elizabeth. Get out of here.
She's haunting all my other games.
Yeah, mention my friend Bloody Mary and get 20% off your next Steam purchase.
Like us on Facebook.
Enter the code at checkout.
Follow me on Twitter. On Slitter. Throat.
She's becoming the Crypt Keeper.
Follow me on Slitter.
Crypt Keeper. It's me, the Crypt Keeper.
God, get him out of here.
Troom, What do you want to recommend?
I've got my Nintendo Witch.
I don't think I have anything to recommend. Maybe the anthology, since I write a story in there. So yeah, I think check it out.
We should all give a secondary recommendation to the anthology, so that you know. I definitely feel like these stories are worth your time. Like this isn't some like I started out as like a project to be like, oh, this will be fun for the people involved. But I think it's good enough that people who aren't even involved might want to read them.
Yeah, and Andy, write down that Nintendo Witch idea.
Yeah,
we're going to use that for the next book.
Nintendo, yeah. And if that doesn't work out, you can sell it to Nintendo, because I heard there's no idea too bad for them.
Oh my god.
We're going to be the first ones to get the horror technology thing right.
No, now my idea for a new story is a horror technology thing that is so blatantly awful.
Well, that's the only thing they can be. Adam. Adam, tell Andy to recommend something.
They just put Bayonetta up on Steam.
Okay.
It's a Devil May Cry style beat 'em up about a lady that gets naked all the time.
Yeah. She uses hair, like, with her magic.
Her clothes are her hair, but her magic is also her hair.
So when she uses more magic, her clothes go away?
Okay.
It's very good. I mean, the plot is nonsensical, but the action is very good.
Yeah, I've heard it is very good. And the second one I heard was just as good, or am I wrong?
I heard the second one
is
better.
The second one is supposed to be just as good. That one was sponsored by Nintendo, so there's little chance we'll see it anywhere else.
Right. Yeah, okay. So that's
except
on Steam.
The Nintendo Witch.
Oh, Adam's gone full witch.
Oh,
it's
damn
not.
It.
And it's, well, the console is just a cauldron you have to fill with water. An eye of Newt.
Once you get this boiling, you can play Mario.
Could you imagine opening up a game box and it's just like some eyeballs and some tails and like the hair of a virgin? You pour it in there, like, now it's time to play Mario Kart.
Shit.
Like, I got this new Mario, but all that came in here was a bunch of powder and some hairs.
Yeah, what you want to do is blow the powder into the face of a scorned widow, and then you boil. Bayonetta, I'm going to recommend the book I just bought. It is the Sauropod Dinosaurs, Life in the Age of Giants.
Sauropod Dinosaurs,
That's about a dinosaur. Okay, so here's how intense this book is. Like, it has, obviously it'll show like musculature and stuff in the digestive system or whatever. There's a whole chapter on sauropod fucking.
Really?
Yeah.
How can he possibly know?
It's all educated guesses, because that's the thing. We will never know, but there is a great chapter on dinosaurs fucking and dinosaurs shitting. So check both of those out.
Okay, David, the newest, and when you said dinosaurs fucking, I immediately thought Chuck Tingle. What's
he
up to?
Yeah, we got a lot of chapters on that.
God, who knows what Chuck Tingle's up to.
His newest book is Donald Trump's Ass is Haunted by the Handsome Ghost of His Incriminating Tax Returns.
The tax returns are wearing chains, like a Jacob Marley sort of thing.
And the tax returns were alive?
The tax returns, well, here's
those
what it
tax
is.
Returns are gonna
it's a really ripped guy, but his head is photoshopped out, and there's a tax return form instead.
Well, he's got a chain wrapped around his arm.
That cannot. Well, okay, so whatever. That was funny. I had a conversation with Krista. She's like, I can't believe my story's gonna be in something. I said, it's not. It's in something that I made. And she's like, well, yeah, but it'll be on Amazon. I'm like, yeah, like Chuck Tingle.
So, look at him, he's famous.
We're reaching the lofty heights of Chuck Tingle.
Open wide for the handsome saber-toothed dentist who is also a ghost. Okay, I'm done.
What about oppressed in the butt by the inclusive holiday cups?
What?
Oppressed in the butt by my inclusive holiday coffee cups.
Exclusive?
That's about
Now I want Starbucks, actually. Good job, Chuck Tingle.
In your butt?
No, not my butt.
What about Bigfoot settlers claim my butthole?
That one does sound enticing.
Now, here's
only
the
because
thing,
I need to see what these Bigfoot settlers look like.
Yeah, is it like an American settler thing where it's the will of God that makes them claim buttholes?
Spoiler alert, it's a man in a suit whose head has been replaced by a gorilla's head.
And another recommendation, I cannot recommend enough this new season of Mystery Science Theater, the Cry Wilderness episode with Bigfoot.
It's pretty good.
I do not like the new dynamic of these dudes.
I like it.
I know you guys would, because you guys are like suckers for bloodless nostalgia, but I just can't get into it.
It was so good. Oh, Mary Bigfoot.
I'm just going to stick to Gage and Brontosaurus. The butt is not enough.
Don't get me wrong. I still like Mike in that era better.
Yeah, even though it's free, I can't bring myself to watch it. But anyway, guys, fistfulpodcast@gmail.com is where you want to send all your mail to, even the stuff that's not for us. Short stories. Since this one came out so good, I'm toying with the idea of doing another one, but having it adhere to a theme instead of it being just like all over the place.
I've got time now.
There was time now. Don't, whatever you do, don't break your glasses.
Whatever you do, don't go breaking my heart.
I couldn't if I tried.
Thank you, Olivia Newton-John.
So, fistfulpodcast@gmail.com, Dave at Fistful Podcast. We're on Twitter. You can follow us on Instagram. I guess that's it. I always feel like I'm missing something, and that is the touch of a man. But once again, I want to say thanks to everybody involved with the book, Adam and Andy, Trung, Krista. Everybody did a great job. My stories have been reduced to packing peanuts, but definitely check that out. So I guess until next week, my name is Dave.
I'm Trung.
Krista.
I'm Donald Trump.
And I'm Adam.
Remember, kids, if a haunted tax return is invading Uranus, there's nothing you can do about it. See you next week.
So long, suckers!
More like Hex returns.
Or they try to.
Fistful of Podcasts Radio.
Can I get extra dinosaurs on my burger?
Extra dinosaurs on there? My name is David.
I have a Brontosaurus waffle maker.
David sounds extra David-y today.
Andy, I feel like I don't have to explain this to you, but you know Brontosaurus is no longer a valid species.
That's why it's such a rare waffle maker.
It's not recognized by this podcast anymore.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, two. Yeah, we already hit record. Jesus Christ.
Seven.
Let's hit record. Oh, fuck. Okay. We're ready. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name's Dave, a.k.a. Oh, damn it.
Didn't you write your name?
Well, yeah, I wrote it down, but it's not very good.
So I don't want to say normally known as Brontosaurus.
Well, because it. No, okay, that'll work. Okay. Ahem.
I did it.
I did it.
Yeah! Double fist pump.
They put him in for one play.
He made a
Took
tackle.
Took me off the bench at the end of the season.
Okay, here he goes. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name's Dave, a.k.a. A.k.a. used to be the Brontosaurus? How am
AKA
I doing?
A.k.a. the artist formerly known as Brontosaurus.
A.k.a. Not a Brontosaurus no more.
Okay, all right, we'll do that one. It seems a little clunky and unwieldy. But
I just said it as a joke. You're the one that said you wanted to use it.
No, it's going to work. Here we go.